Let's see. I told Terrell that the title of this would be Following Jesus in Tough Times or in Hard Times. And I want to suggest that John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. They follow me." And so we're going to try to follow Jesus. In 1941, and now maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't. 1941. It's all right. It's all right. February 1943. The USS Dorchester was sunk by the German submarine. Now, it was on its way to Europe, and it was probably a transport vehicle. In 1946, the United States government issued a stamp, catalog number 926, which means it's 926th stamp, postage stamp, that the United States government issued, honoring four chaplains that were on that SS Dorchester. And of course, as you may recall, they gave their life preservers to the soldiers and sailors. They were all older than the young 17, 18, 19-year-old kids on that ship, and so they gave their life preservers to those young kids to try to save themselves. Out of the 2,400 and some people on that ship, only about 245 survived it. Sailors jumped into the ocean, and of course the oil was burning, and so they burned alive, a lot of them, trying to swim away, whether they had a life preserver or not. And so the United States honored those chaplains because of what they'd done, giving away their life. Perhaps the men, the chaplains, had read John 3:16 through 19. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren, for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shuddereth up his bowels of compassion for him, outdwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, either in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know we are the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." So they did what we all might find it hard to do, to give up our lives for our brethren. That's what Christ did, what Christ did for us. So perhaps they all understood it. And then you realize that one of those chaplains was a Jewish rabbi. One of them was a Methodist minister, and I was a Methodist at that time, and I don't hold much stock in some of the, what the Methodists are doing anymore. And the others, I don't remember. But they were not all of the same faith. I want to turn, and I just want to make it clear that you see, God didn't really give those chaplains too much of a choice. Keep the life preserver and jump into the fire and the oil and burn to death, or go down with the ship. But what the men that did get into the clear water saw was, as the ship was about to go down, the four chaplains singing with their arms locked together on the deck of the ship. And that's what they honored in the stamp. But they understood, I guess, what God was telling them in order to be ready and willing to give our life for our fellow man. I want to turn to chapter 8 of Ezekiel, and I want to read a little more than you probably want to hear, but anyway, I'd like to read a little more of this the whole chapter ought to be read, but I'm going to skip down verse 5 because I need to save as much time as I can for the conclusion here. But I want to get you to see what Ezekiel says, and then understand what really is happening there. And then I want to look at our posture in following Jesus. Ezekiel 8, chapter 8, verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 5 is where I'm going to start. And I'm going to read all the rest of the chapter. But anyway, if you all would like to read with me, then I'll give you a second or so to get there. If not, I'll try to read very clearly. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 5. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, the northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations of the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked in, behold, a hole in the wall. And then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall around about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he to me, Son of man, thou hast seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imaginary. For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And he said unto me, Turn thee yet again, and if thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. And then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? It is the light thing to the house of Judah, and they commit abominations which they commit here, for they have filled the land with the violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore I will also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. I want really one thing to come out of this that's really, I think, really kind of interesting. This is Old Testament, and I understand that, and, you know, it's before our time, and so, you know, a lot of people have the idea it doesn't have anything to do with our time, but I want you to understand something. This was at a time when they weren't doing what was right. So what they were doing, you see, is going to the chapel. They were turning to the east, but they were going to the chapel, and they were pretending to be doing what God wanted them to do. And then at night, they were saying, God isn't going to see us. I want you to think about what's going on right now in this country for just a minute. And I want you to think, oh, you see, what's going on in this country right now, they're not even pretending. They're not even pretending. There is no pretense whatsoever to do good, to do what's right. There's no pretense. So I want, is that on now so you can hear? So I want to kind of review quickly, and I'm not going to turn to all these verses, but I want to kind of review some of the conclusions that we have had before in our lessons here. Then I say I'm not going to read them, but I am going to read. Well, no, I'm not going to. I get this yet. Some of the lessons that we need to review that I've gone through in the past, and I just kind of want to go through them quickly. Do not fear what you hear. 2 Kings, Ruth loves this verse. Isaiah 27:6. And second thing that we've learned in the past, God will tell you what you need to know. Romans 15:7, Psalms 109, Luke 24:46-49, John 2:24-25. See, God is watching what we're doing now today too. What about today? What about today? We're not even pretending. Not even pretending. I intended to maybe mention this just a minute ago, but Ruth and I got videos yesterday and today. Maui. And two little boys going into Maui. video we saw yesterday, you see what happened in Maui was a fire. They want to tell you it's a forest fire and it's a natural fire, but I want to show to you, give you a vision of this, what these two little boys found. They found two cars that were sitting in grass. They were sitting in grass that had not burned. The cars burned. So hot was the fire that the aluminum tire rims was melted. And the metal river. The grass didn't burn. The windows were burned up. The glass was all burned up. Everything in the car that was metal was all burned up. The house across the street didn't burn. The trees in the house's yard didn't burn. The houses in the next block were all burned. Burned down. How did those cars survive? How did they survive? They didn't survive. The trees did. The grass did. Well, we were kind of concerned about that, but then we saw a much larger one today. These are people that are not probably supposed to be in there because, you see, they're not wanting investigators to go in there. They don't want investigators to go in there. And then they talked to fire investigators from California. And the fire investigators from California that had retired showed us pictures of the California fires, of forest fires, you see, that burns the trees. Except the trees didn't burn in California either, and those people that were fire captains were failing to investigate and report it because, you see, they didn't be. This is something big. This is bigger than them. This is so big that they come in after the fire. Corporations come in after the fire and they pick up all the street. They keep the people out of there. They don't let anybody come in. They come in after the fire and they pick up all the highways and they take all the metal out from under the road because, you see, the metal burns in these fires. Trees don't, but the metal burns in these fires. And they replace the pipes under the road with plastic ones because the plastic doesn't burn in this heat. You see, for the aluminum to burn, it had to be 2,700 degrees to burn. This is going on in this country. And then the fire captain tells us about cars that set and burned. And the trees in the yard didn't burn. The trees died because they had water in them, and these fires affect. These are controlled fires. And right now, if you look, they will tell you this fire in wherever it is, that if it's burning, they'll tell you when it's going to end. These corporations will tell you when it's going to end. You see, now we have some of the evidence of the wrongdoing. Only problem is we don't have the power. Got the evidence, but don't have the power. Now look at what we're going through. You see, the government says these are climate change problems. These fires are climate change. This is all caused by climate change. Climate change. And then Biden's going to clamp down on incandescent lights, you know, and then gas generators are going to be eliminated because they might cause climate change. You know, the simple fact is our federal government can't even control a little old tornado. And they want to tell you they can control climate change. and they're dumping stuff in the skies, in the airways. Now I want to tell you what's really a blessing for y'all, and this is where I'm heading with some more of this. See, that's problems that I don't know that we're going to have much to do with or how we can handle it. We can't write our congressman and complain, but you see, if we do that, then we might be accused of a crime because we're meddling with something that's none of our business. Because those corporations, you see, have been delegated the authority to go in and replace the pipes under the roads. A girl in, I think it was Kansas, I may be wrong about the state, a girl in Kansas was woken up in the morning and they went into her house and they seized all of her property, you see, because her boyfriend was accused of being a drug dealer. They didn't accuse her of being a drug dealer, but they accused her of being a friend of the boyfriend. So they wanted all of her stuff. Well, they've taken all of her stuff. And they've kept it. And they're going to keep it until she has a trial to prove her innocence. And the judge isn't going to set a trial. And they're going to keep her money until she has the ability. $8,000 they got. They're going to keep her money until she proves her innocence. The judge isn't going to set a trial. They got what they want, you see. They got what they want. Sidney Powell, who defended President Trump or tried to demonstrate that the election was improper, been sued along with 18 other people. She tells that all of the news, her report is, all of the news that we get, doesn't matter where we get it from, all the news we get, unless it comes from some of these little two boys that made a video and put it on, however they do that, and I'm not sure how they do that, but this is pretty, these videos are pretty convincing when you see them. All the news is lies. Judicial Watch reports illegal alien killed William Denny McLean. Illegal alien killed William Denny McLean, a World War II veteran. The illegal alien had been deported 16 times before. 16 times before. Intimidation of the Supreme Court justices. Who ever heard that you could threaten the Supreme Court justices? Now, I will tell you that I knew Justice, the Federal District Court Justice, Barefoot Sanders. I happened to be in his office 3 days after he was installed as judge. And he says, Ray, he says, the surprising thing is I've been here 3 days. I've already gotten 24 death threats. Now they're intimidating them by going to their homes and threatening their families. Judicial Watch reports that the FBI is accused and they are trying to file a case to get the information on this of targeting the Catholics for views on abortion. Judicial Watch reports that the United States paid funds to research COVID to China. Paid funds. to research COVID so that we could get a different, our government's involved in creating that COVID whole thing. January 6th tragedy. Man was sentenced to 18 years for walking in the Capitol. Walking in the Capitol. The police offered to help him out, I think, but he's walking in the Capitol. All that's lies. All those are lies. And those are horrible sentences they're dictating. Oh, yeah, they can appeal them. And oh, yeah, but you see, appeal to the Supreme Court is $1 billion. Just happened to have that handy, would you? How am I going to do that? John Kerry, his budget for climate change, nobody knows what he's doing, but he has 45 employees and he spends $16.5 million of your money, your tax money. Then there's the fires in California that I mentioned. They were just as bad, have been for the last 10 years, you see, because the fire captains have had reservations about investigating and then losing their job. That happens with the post office because, see, the post office employees have to support the post office claims. They can't fight for paper ballots because, you see, they have post office. Because they can't speak their mind because they might lose their retirement. Then there's the pastor and his wife and family that the people came to his house, you see, and wanted to interrogate him and investigate what was going on. And he said, well, where's the warrant? Didn't have a warrant, didn't have a charge, but they still wanted to come in. So they made up one. Wasn't even the law. They made it up. They made it up and arrested him. Hauled him off to jail. And, of course, you see, he's in the same boat as the January 6th. If you've got a judge that isn't going to hear the case, he's in the same boat. And I know that it's really easy for me to think about the way the law was supposed to work in this country, and if I am arrested, I can go get a lawyer that will represent me. We'll try to get one of President Trump's lawyers to help you out and defend your case after they got sued for representing Donald Trump. I don't care how much money you have. I sure don't have $1 million for my appeal. Oh, yeah, the Supreme Court might, with the Supreme Court we have right now, they might. So, I've gotten way too far down the line here, but so how do we follow Christ? How do we follow Christ? And fortunately, see, what we have is really, really good because we have what he did. He was arrested for a crime that he didn't commit. And we have exactly what he did. So here we are. We're going to go through this. And we're going to be as close as we can get to what he did do. And I'm just going to go through this. I'm going to run over about 5 minutes. But give me a minute. Because what I really want you to understand is the conclusion here. But let's read what, if we can, Matthew 26:61-64, and said, this fellow, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I go adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereinafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and the coming in the clouds of heaven. I want you to really look at this as, one, Jesus doesn't say much, but to teach the Word. So one of the things I think we can do when we're arrested is teach the Word. It may be to a fellow prisoner, but you see, it may be that's one of the things that we can do. So now turn over to the next chapter, 27, 11 through 14. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered and nothing. And when Pilate said unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered to them, Never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now here he's not saying a word. All he said was, You say that I'm king of. And so one of the things is that you should consider is not saying anything, because anything you do say can be used against you. And you see, if they're making up crimes, then they make up a crime based on what you said, not on the truth, but what you said. So now, go to Mark 14, 46, 49. Mark 14, 46 through 49. And they laid their hands on him and took him, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me. I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Here again, he's teaching them the word. He's just teaching them the word. So I'm saying to you, when you're in that posture, I think the one thing that you can truthfully undertake to say, if you get yourself in that posture, that you can teach the word. Turn to 1460 through 62. And the high priest stood up in the midst, asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Again, he teaching the word, teaching the word. So, now, Luke 22, 50 through 53. Luke 22, 50 through 53. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. So Jesus is telling us that we can be merciful and we can help people when we're under arrest. It may not be the people that arrest us, but we can help people. We can help cure them. And then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which we were to come to him, But ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of the darkness. And now he's telling us, you see, we have the evidence is against you, but you have the power. You have the power. Admit what is admitted. And you see, now we're back to those sailor boys and the chaplains. They could have kept the life preservers, but they gave them up. They helped as Christ is recommending here, helping like he helped the guy that got cut the ear cut off. They helped him. Recognizing that the power that be has already done the damage, because if we jump in the water, we burn in the oil or we drown anyway. Even with probably the lifesavers, because with the life preserver. Turn over a little further here in the same chapter, 66. Luke 22, 66 through 71. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came and together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. He's just telling them the truth. If I tell you, I mean, I'm not so sure. I probably would have said that under those circumstances. But you see, he's going to die anyway, and he knows he is. And if we're in that position, I don't think it makes too much difference at that point if you already know the powers that be are going to take your life. And if that is also, and if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And he's preaching now. He's preaching. Then said he, They all, Art thou the Son of God? And he said unto them, You say what I am. You say it. You're saying it. And I have in my office at home, I have a carving of a face of what I intended to be, Jesus, with a smile on his face. And I intended to pick up this very time here. I don't think Jesus really smiled a big smile, and I didn't make this a big smile. I made it a very small kind of little grin, sheepish grin, because here you are telling me I've committed a crime, and then you're saying, you say that I'm the Son of God. You said it, and he's telling them that. Luke 23:3-4. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of Jews? And he answered him, and he said, Thou sayest. And then said Pilate to the chief priest, and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Luke 23:34. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, The Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as they parted his raiment and cast lot. Now we have heard all of the testimony that they have written down in the Word, except for John, and we could go into John, and it pretty much kind of repeats and reiterates that what we've already read. And I don't think we get anything more from this, but I want to, without going too much more over time, I want to suggest to you that if you're called into this situation and called on the carpet by the feds, or anybody in this county, one thing the sheriff of this county has said, they must get approval from me before they talk to you in Wood County. So if you are in Wood County and they come to your door, you tell them to go talk to the sheriff. You ask them, have they talked to the sheriff? And they'll say not, because they are going to barge in where they can barge in. And you tell them to go talk to the sheriff, because the sheriff is the head legal man in this county, and that's the posture he takes. He's a conservative, and he is a constitutionalist. How strong he can be in the final analysis, you would have an opportunity to push him to go to the sheriff. Next most important thing you see is, if you go back, and what we didn't read, Jesus prayed three times about what's going on. Prayed before. He didn't wait. You see, he prayed before this stuff happened. It's what he wants us to be doing. So the lesson we ought to get from all of this is we ought to be a praying that it doesn't happen to us, a praying that he'll protect us before it does. And even if it does happen, we're praying for it. That's what he does. That's the lesson Jesus is trying to teach us, is pray and pray and pray and pray some more. It's really the only power we have. Got the evidence. What's of it? No power in Christ. And if we don't call on him, how can we expect him to intervene? Appreciate Coach's prayer, because he called on Christ, on God to intervene in the areas and the people that are doing some work on behalf of protecting some people to get some help. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to turn to you in everything we do, and we need to turn to you before. We need to turn to you in the morning, before the day, and turn to you in the Monday and before the week, and be turning to you at every turn. We need to realize that we waste a lot of time doing a lot of things. Sitting at a traffic light, we sit there and sit there. You know, that's a good time to ask the Lord for his blessings. We're not doing anything else of importance. We can't do too much while we're sitting there. We can use a lot of time. Christ used. He walked everywhere he went and went out into the country and spent hours praying. Use the time to ask for his help and blessing. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.